There I am. Good evening. Oh, that was good already. It's going to get even better. Amen. Thank you, pastors Randy and Kelly, for inviting me. This is a privilege to be here. I don't spend much of my time in America anymore. I was in India and Taiwan the last 9 to 10 months, and the Lord has given me the privilege of traveling the world, and I've been resident in Asia for 14 years. That's where I found my wife, and God is good, and I'm really excited about what he's going to do tonight. So before I jump into that, I just want to highlight just three things. If you like the message that I'm going to share tonight, which I really believe the Lord wants to give, there's two CDs. They're MP3 CDs, one called Crushing Condemnation, and another one called Keys to Your Breakthrough. I had an incurable lung disease for 5 years when I arrived in India, and I'm completely healed now for 8 years. I told I was going to have it for life, and not only that, I live in Delhi, India, which by the World Health Organization has been declared the most polluted, dirtiest city in the world, and I live there, and I have no symptoms whatsoever. So that is a testimony of what God has done for me, but what he does for one, he wants to do for all. And so in one book, too, I have two, but I'm going to highlight this one's called Grace, God's Heart Unveiled. Really getting to know God's heart will position you to really live this life to the fullest. When you realize that God is for you and not against you, and when you realize that God is against you, you can overcome anything. And so today's message I have entitled Power Through Identity. It's kind of, if you're not familiar with certain scriptures, the phrase upon us might sound strange to you. I wouldn't have got this at one time of my life. I wouldn't have understood what that means. But the scripture says that the Spirit of God would come upon people at a certain time for a certain purpose, especially in the Old Testament. He would come upon kings, priests, and prophets. But the greater thing is this, that once Jesus came, he has given that privilege to all believers, that the Spirit of God wants to come upon you for supernatural activity. To have a joy that no matter what you go through, you just outbeat everyone who's around you. Not that you're in competition or anything. But, you know, I remember going to the gym once and just talking to my, you know, the guys that I occasionally hang out with. And one of them got offended and said, "Why are you always so happy?" And then I didn't even realize it, that I was always bubbling over with joy, because that's just Jesus. The supernatural, the Spirit of God wants to come upon you to give you life, to give you healing, to give you victory, to make you a testimony of what he wants to do in this whole world. And so I have learned over the years, this is one of the things that I love to do, is to teach about the Holy Spirit, to pray for people. I do have a healing and miracle ministry. I mean, I'm just so excited. I saw my friend, and she's in her late 50s, and she had a hearing aid on, and we prayed. She took it off. She hasn't used it since. I mean, just incredible things are just happening everywhere. I was just at the gym the other day, Planet Fitness. If you want healing, you can go there while I'm working out. And so my friend came up, he's like, "Man, I think I need surgery. The doctor's saying I can't lift." I'm like, "Let's just pray right here." And so I just start praying for him, you know, right in the sweaty midst of everyone working out. And he gets instantly healed, and he starts, you know, incline benching 185 pounds with me. He's like, "It's completely fine." And so, you know, that's normal for me. But God wants to make that normal for you. And so I want to teach you what it means to position yourself for that. See, God wants to give it, but you have to position yourself in a place where you can receive it, and that is through identity. Say identity with me. Okay, so we're going to be jumping through some scriptures here. I'm going to be going pretty fast because we have to give time to pray. I believe God is going to touch you in this message. I believe the words that I'm speaking to you are not just human words. They have God laced in them, and they're going to impact you. I really believe that. And not only that, but we're going to pray, and people are going to get set free. And it's going to be exciting. So let's not wait any longer. We're going to go to Galatians chapter 4, verses 4. And so Paul, the apostle, is explaining about Jesus and one of the reasons why he came, okay? So this is after Jesus already came, he died, he rose again, and the apostles were going out and bringing people to Jesus and planting churches. Into one church, he was teaching them, and the verse starts when it says, "But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law." So say with me, fullness of time. Say it again with me. Fullness of time. You know, the exciting thing is that the fullness of time has come. See, when you don't realize it, and I didn't for a long period of time, when I was sick with a lung disease, I didn't have faith. I had hopeful thinking and wishful thinking. There's a big difference between hopeful thinking and faith. There is a difference between wishful thinking and faith. I had a wishful thinking that maybe God someday at some time would have mercy upon me and heal me. But that wasn't faith. And as long as I had wishful thinking, my problem remained. Because I was looking for the fullness of my time to come, not my death, but you know, for my blessing, okay? I was looking for that fullness of time and I didn't realize that it has already come. Beloved, faith perceives what God has already done. And so one of the main turning points is when I got healed, miraculously healed, and I realized the fullness of time has come. Amen? Whatever you are needing, and I know people have coming here and many people have needs. What you're needing, let me tell you this, the fullness of time has come. You are not waiting for God. God is waiting for you. And if you don't know what to do, let me tell you good news. We do, and we're going to pray for you. You know, sometimes people come to me and says, "I don't have faith." I'm like, I don't care if you have faith or not. I have faith, and I'm going to pray for you. And you know what? I've been at places in my life where I didn't have faith, and someone else did. And you know what? That's the good news, that you don't have to have it all together. All you have to do is come before Jesus and people who love you, and we will help you. This is what church is supposed to be. It's not supposed to be a religious thing that you go to. It's supposed to be a family that you connect to that cares for one another. Oh, okay. So anyways, let's read it again. When the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. See, we sometimes read the scripture so quickly that we don't really digest what it's saying. Say with me, born under the law. See, God gave a law to mankind, and many of us know those. I mean, just a portion of them is called the Ten Commandments, and you know, all that you shall not lie, you shall not covet, you shall not steal, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not, you know, all these different things. Jesus, God in the flesh, also was born just as you and me, and he was subject to the same law you and me are subject to. Amen. I'm going to make a radical statement here. The law of God was not originally intended for you and me. It was intended for Jesus. Wow, I know. That's going pretty deep. Because Jesus was the one who couldn't fulfill it when no one else could. God knew that you and me could never fulfill it. But it was set ahead of time before him so that he would come later to fulfill it on our behalf. So you got to realize that God made Jesus born of a woman. I mean, Jesus could just have descended in a physical body. He didn't need to be born. Why did he have to be born as a human? So that he would understand everything that you go through. So that he would identify as you and me. And he would be subject to the same law that you and I were subject to. But for what purpose? Ooh, I'm glad you asked. You didn't, but you had it in your mind. Let's jump to verse 5 here. So that, amen. Why was he born under the law? What was the purpose of it? So that he might redeem those who were under the law. Us. Everyone who was subject to the law and everyone who failed. Everyone failed. But he was also subject to it. He fulfilled it, and he redeemed us from it. That means he redeemed us from our failures and also the demand for performance. He redeemed it. He redeemed it from us. I want you to consider this. that Jesus, the moment he was born to the very last breath on the cross, he fulfilled every commandment perfectly. He loved his neighbor as himself. He loved God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. In every thought, in every word, in every action, he gave preference to God. Oh my goodness, if we start looking at the nitty-gritty of these things, we look horrible. Right? I mean, every thought, every word, every action from the moment you're born to the moment you're dead. Oh my God, help me. But he did it, listen, for you. He did it for you. He didn't come just to do it and say, aren't I amazing and you guys are not? No, he came and he says, you are amazing in my eyes and I'm doing this for you because I love you. And he fulfilled the law to redeem us from the law. And how did he do that? In his life, he fulfilled every commandment perfectly. Say that. Jesus fulfilled every commandment perfectly for me. Then he died on the cross. Every commandment that we broke, that we deserved the penalty of, he took the penalty of it in his death. And he rose from the dead. I'm going to tell you something that you may not have heard before. Jesus did not die and raise from the dead just so that you could be forgiven. He didn't just die and raise from the dead so that you would go to heaven. People saying, yeah, forgiveness. Jesus died for my forgiveness, or Jesus died, you know, so I can go to heaven. That is all, that's you know, you are forgiven for what? You are going to heaven for what? That's not the end. That's just the doorway that you walk through. The whole purpose of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus is to position you as a son and as a daughter of the Most High God. That is the end. When the Father looked at his son and said, go to earth, I'm sending you on their behalf. He looked beyond Jesus's life. He looked beyond his death and his resurrection. And what he saw were you. Children of the Most High God, his beloveds. That is the reason why Jesus came. So that you would not be far from God, but that you would forever be his dear sons and daughters. Oh. And this is it. Once we get this, this is where I'm going to jump off of. It's knowing your identity as a son and as a daughter of the Most High God, that the Spirit of God will work most powerfully through you. It is identity. When we receive and walk in our identity, I'm going to show this from Scripture more, okay? But so, okay, right here. Next verse. I'm doing expository preaching today. One amen. Yeah, two amens. Okay. And it says this, the next verse. Because you are sons. Now, don't get tricked up, okay? It means sons and daughters both, okay? But it's just focusing on the sons. Because you are sons. Say it with me. I am a son. I am a daughter. You are. See, many of the things, we don't feel it. We might come here and we might feel like trash. We might feel like we're rejected. We might feel like we're alone. We might feel like we've never even been loved and accepted as a son or daughter. But the truth is, you are. Even if you don't know Jesus intimately, you're not walking with him, the Father in heaven still sees you as a son and daughter. That is how he sees you. So, you know, the religion has taught you that you're just a horrible sinner saved by grace. No. We were a sinner, but now we're sons of the Most High God, daughters of the Most High God. And it says, because you are a son, let me tell you something. You are, whether you feel like it or not. You are. And sometimes we have to believe it before we experience it. But that's not how people want to go about it. They want to feel it first for a long period of time and then contemplate it for a few years and be like, you know what? I may be a son. That's not how faith works. Faith says, God says, you are a son. You are a daughter. And faith says, I believe that regardless of what I feel. Because if I go by my feelings, I can be all over the place too. But we go by what God says. And it says, because you are a son, God has, say has. it's all good. The time came, the fullness of time came. God has sent forth the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So let me say this. The Father took the spirit of Jesus. Does that make sense? He took the spirit of Jesus and he put the spirit of Jesus inside you. Why? So that spirit would train your spirit that just as the Father loves and relates to Jesus, that same way he loves and relates to you. The Spirit of Jesus was sent into your hearts. And just as Jesus calls out to his Father who loves him and in whom Jesus loves, it says, Abba, Father. Abba means, it's like a dear, it's like a, it's giving, like, you know how they say dear, dearly beloved, that kind of thing. Daddy, Abba, Father, dear Father. That same Spirit was sent inside you so that you would realize your sonship, so that you would realize how much of a loved daughter you are. You know, before, when Jesus was first sent, I mean, many of us know, we probably heard of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Only. So before Jesus came to earth, he sent him as what? The only begotten son. But did you know that in Romans 8:29, after Jesus rose from the dead, he's no longer called the only begotten son. He's called the firstborn among many sons and daughters. See, Jesus is no longer like the only child in the family of heaven. He is among many innumerable sons and daughters, but he's just the number one. He's the firstborn. You are a son just like he is. You are in that family. So I'm gonna jump to another scripture here, Romans 8:16, because we're talking about the Spirit of God here. So just like we said, this, that God sent the Spirit of Jesus into your hearts so that you would know how Jesus feels to the Father, so that you would mimic it, so that you would learn for yourself. And right here it says in Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. The number one thing that the Spirit of God loves to do in his number one activity is to prove to you that you are not alone, you are not, you know, neglected, you are chosen, you are a son and daughter. That is the number one activity of the Holy Spirit. Ooh. So we're going to jump to another scripture here. John 17:26. And so this is right before Jesus is captured and then he's crucified. Does that make sense? This is just, you know, a few minutes. This is like the last prayer he prayed before the people came and captured him and betrayed him. And this was his prayer. He's talking to the Father about you and me. Say that. Jesus is talking to the Father about you and me. And Jesus says, I have revealed to them who you are. And I will continue to make you even more real to them. How? He's about to die. How? Through the Spirit of God. You see that Jesus came and revealed the Father. You want to know how Father God is? Just like his son. The way Jesus loved people. He forgave the woman caught in adultery. He healed the sick. And he showed people love and mercy. That's your Father displayed through the Son. Said, I have revealed to them who you are, and I will continue to make you even more real to them. How? By the Spirit of God that is sent inside of you to convince you that you are loved. So that, the whole point of it is so that you may experience. Say the word experience with me. Experience. I want to tell you something. To follow Jesus is to live by faith, but faith is never without experience. Faith so oftentimes precedes experience, but faith is never without experience. When I truly walked in faith for my healing, there was a period of time, but I guess what happened? The experience come in. Woo, it feels good to be healed, I'm telling you that. When you believe something, the experience comes. And the whole point of Jesus' coming is so that you would experience something. Faith is an experience. Amen? That you may experience what? The same endless love. Oh, I love the Passion Translation. This is awesome. The same endless love that you have for me. You got to get this. The same way the Father loves perfect Jesus. You know, the perfect, you know, sibling who never did anything wrong and did everything right. You know what I mean? The way that the Father perfectly loves and accepts Jesus, that is the same way he loves you. There's no difference. See, his life and his death, his fulfilling every commandment was for you, and his death was for you to position you in the same place that he is in. The same feelings. That is why the Spirit of Jesus is sent into your heart, because you are in that same equal standing in love and acceptance and in honor before the Father. Wow. For your love will now live in them, even as I live in them. Wow. Wow. So we're going to go back to Galatians 4, verses 7. This is the last verse here in that Galatians chapter. Can we jump to that? 4, 7. And it says right here, therefore, you are no longer slaves. I'm not seeing it. Woo! Yeah, one more, please. There we go. Therefore, you are no longer slaves, but a son. God doesn't want you to be a slave of fear. He doesn't want you to be a slave of your negative feelings. He doesn't want you to be the slave of sin, a slave of darkness. You are no longer a slave, but what are you? A son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Romans says you are co-heirs with Christ. You know, Jesus is amazing. He is the firstborn, but he puts us on equal footing with him in inheritance. He did everything right for you to position you as equal footing as the firstborn. He says, though I'm the firstborn and I deserve everything, hey, you come up to my level and I'm going to freely give you what you never worked for. I want to share a few testimonies in my life. I was just amazing things. This the Father. I would say I've seen miracles. If you don't know me, you may be skeptical of what I'm going to say, but you know what? It's truth, whether you believe it or not. I've seen blind people see, completely blind. They've never seen their life. They're seeing. I've seen children born deformed who they couldn't walk since childhood, and now they're walking. I've seen cancer dissolve instantly. I mean, it wigs me out. I mean, when it happens, I'm like, oh my God, they're seeing right now. You know what I mean? Like I'm believing for it, but it still impacts me. But you know what's more important than all that? Is the love that the Father has for you and me. Those are wonderful things. Those represent his love. But you being positioned as a son and daughter forever and endlessly receiving his goodness, that is actually the biggest miracle of all. And so I was in South Africa 2.5 years ago, and I was invited there. We did a conference, and I was at this church doing a training. Amazing things happened. This guy, he's a really tall guy, and I was praying. I was teaching them how to heal the sick, and so I prayed for him, and he hit the floor like a ton of bricks. You know what I mean? He just fell down, and it looked like he almost passed out or died. And sometimes people say, well, isn't that strange? Why do people fall over when they get prayed for sometimes? I have the answer for you. It's because they can't stand up. And so so he just falls over like a ton of bricks. And we kept praying for him. But I didn't know. But 3 years before, his optic a nerve, because of high blood pressure on his optic nerve burst. And it directly affected his optic nerve. And he was completely blind in that eye. When there's like brilliant light like this shining in his eyes, he could only see red. And when he got up, he was like, I can see, I can see. And I'm like, I didn't even know what was wrong. And so he could see instantly by the power of God. I mean, it was just amazing stuff. Another guy there who actually had hip surgery scheduled for the next month, he got instantly healed. He was running up and down stairs, and a small girl with rheumatoid arthritis, juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, she basically got completely healed. All of her, you know, readings were completely different. And yeah, it was amazing, just amazing things. But so I was in one evening, they had this beautiful log cabin for the guest speaker to speak in. And sometimes I feel weird because, you know, being honored that way. So I had this beautiful log cabin there in South Africa, and I was just there, and I'm like, oh, Lord, 3 hours from now, the meeting's going to be. So I'm up there praying. I'm trying to get all excited in prayer, and I'm praying, and I felt like God said, go upstairs and lay down on the bed. And at first I said, I rebuke you, devil. Rabba kaso rabba. And I started, you know, praying intensely because, you know, I get, you know, for me, people are coming and they need help. And they may not have their faith. So for me, it's a serious thing that I need to be in a place that I can bring hope and faith for others. I mean, to me, it's a very heavy responsibility. So I'm sitting there, be like, no, that can't be God. I got to get serious here, you know? And so I start praying. Then I heard it again. Go upstairs and lay on the bed. I'm like, okay. So I go upstairs and I lay on the bed kind of on my side. And it was just, I've never had anything like this experience again. It was like the Father laid down next to me on the bed and placed his arm over me and on my chest, but his hand felt huge. I couldn't see anything, but it was like I could feel it. A little bit physically, but so deeply spiritually and emotionally. And I've never felt such affection. And it was just, I was overwhelmed. Let's just put it that way. And it lasted for like 15, 20 minutes. And see, I grew up in a family where I was extremely neglected by my own father, where I was basically raised by my relatives for the first decade of my life, and I've never, ever been held or touched by my father. But yet the Father in heaven says, I know you're zealous, I know you want to serve me, but I have something better. I want to love you, and I want you to know that you are loved and cared for. And it rocked me. I've never felt such affection and love before. And God wants to do that in all of our lives. It is from that place of knowing that you don't have to perform to know that you're loved. It's from that place that you don't have to strive to impress someone to be recognized and to do everything right to be accepted. It's from that place of knowing that you're loved unconditionally is your place of your greatest strength. It is the place where all hell can be breaking around you, and it does affect you to a degree, but you know what? On the inside, you're a rock that can't be shaken because you know who is with you and who loves you and where you're going to be. Mm. Oh, Lord. So again, how do we know how the Father loves us? I've been saying it now. We look to the way Jesus and the Father related because we are in that same position that they are in. Does that make sense? Okay, so we're going to jump to Luke 3, 21 to 22. Many of us know this scripture. It's when Jesus was baptized at the beginning of his ministry. Some people say, well, why was Jesus baptized? He's like, even John said, why are you coming to be baptized? You're the Messiah. And he said, let it be. Why? So that all righteousness would be fulfilled. Jesus wasn't baptized for his own righteousness. He was baptized for our righteousness. He was doing the right thing for us to position us in the Father's love. When all us went, now when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized. And while he was praying, so get this, it wasn't the baptism. He was already baptized, and then he was communing with the Father. And while he was praying, heaven was opened. Ooh, that exciting. Verse 22, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the bodily form. See, descended what? Upon him. See, the Father in heaven wants to give you the greatest gift of all. And what is that? The Spirit of God on you to change the world around you. God just doesn't want to just completely bless you and change you. That is in his heart, but he wants to do it beyond that. The Spirit of God descended upon him in a bodily form as a like a dove, and a voice came out of heaven. So see that? The Spirit of God came in response to the Father speaking what? You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased. That's the NASB. It's so much cooler in the translation version. I mean, the Passion Translation. I'll read it from that one. It says this, and a voice from heaven said, you are my dearly loved son. You bring me great joy. You bring me great joy. When the Father looks at you, he looks at you the same way he looks at Jesus. And he says, you are mine. You are mine. You are not rejected. You are not outcast. You are not alone. You are mine. And you are my what? My beloved, my dearly loved one. And you are my son. You are forever joined to his heart, irreseparable. You cannot be separated from his heart. And he goes on and he says, you bring great joy to me. You may say, but God, I've done everything wrong. You know what I did last night. Even on the way here, you know my thoughts. How can you say you bring me great joy? How many of you been there? I've been there. See, you got to understand, Jesus fulfilled every good commandment for you. And he took every punishment upon your behalf. That is his life and death. To position you now, not in heaven where you're going to be perfect. I used to think, man, it's going to be great when I'm going to be in heaven. I don't have to struggle anymore. Then finally, I can be at peace with my Father. No, the Father says, now I accept you in Christ. Accept you now. Now you are my dearly beloved one. Now you are mine. Now you are my son. And now you bring great joy to me. Because you are positioned in the same place as Jesus is by his grace. So I'm going to share this vision. This rocked me. And I might cry because I 50% of the time I share this, I start crying. So we'll see how I feel, okay? But this was a long time ago. This is before I went to India. I've been in India for 14 years. So this was like 16, 17 years ago. I was at a pastor's meeting, and we were just, you know, we would get together once a week, and we would sometimes have a little bit of worship before. And I love to sing, I love to worship, but Pastor Chris would never have me up here because I would just, you know, I would do the opposite of what they're trying to do, you know, bring a beautiful tone. But I just love to worship. And we were just worshiping together a few songs, and I just kind of got in this zone, and I was singing, and I got caught up in the Spirit. I started seeing this vision of the throne room. I saw the Father seated on the throne, and he was brilliant and like shining in such brilliant light that you could barely see him properly. You know what I mean? Like I can kind of get an outline of his body, but I couldn't see anything detailed because he was so shining. And I saw the angels on each side. Like there were so many of them that it almost looked like sand on the seashore. You know, like you can see and it just becomes a blur in the distance. I saw these angels. And I was still singing the song because I knew it so well while I was seeing this. But my voice became very, very quiet as I got caught up in the Spirit. And I was seeing this vision in heaven. And I could hear the angels in heaven singing. And it was just like, They were just perfect, and they were in perfect unison, innumerable thousands of them on each side. And then all of a sudden, the Father leaned forward, and he waved his hand like that to his right and waved his hand to the left, and all the angels on the right instantly became silent as soon as he waved his hand. And as he waved his hand, all of them on the left side became completely silent. And the angels were actually like leaning in. It's like, why did he silence us? What's he going to say? They were so attentive to about what he was going to say. So while I'm seeing this, I'm still singing, and I could faintly hear my voice. And he leans forward and he looks to them all and he says, "Do you hear that voice?" Here I go, I'm gonna cry. He said, "That is the voice of my beloved son." Oh, I just got rocked. I just went into a baby fit, you know, crying fit, and just full of joy. But it was like he silenced heaven because I am a voice unique from any angel. And actually, my voice has preference over them because I'm not just a messenger. I'm not a servant. I'm a son, a dearly beloved son, and so are you. And that is how he feels. You don't have to get that vision to believe it. That's how he feels toward you every time you come before him, whether you see that or not. That's truth. And so we see this Jesus being baptized. He's praying the Spirit of God coming upon him. Why? Because he's a son. And then what happens right after that? We see it in Luke 4:14. It says, after this experience, Jesus returned to Galilee in what? In the power. Ooh, say the word power. Power. I mean, we need power. Some of us need power to, you know, to believe for miracles, to power to witness. Some of us might need power just to go through this next week that we're about to face. Whatever that is for you, but you need power. And it says the power of the Spirit. And news about him spread throughout the surrounding district. A son receives and operates in the Spirit better. If you don't know you're a son, you know what you're going to do to try to get more of the Holy Spirit? You're going to strive for it. You're going to manipulate yourself. You're going to try to manipulate God, manipulate circumstances. You're going to feel superior when you actually do flow in the Spirit, and you're going to disregard other people. All these things are going to happen if you don't know you're a son. The only way to help in a healthy way to steward the Spirit of God is to live as an identity as a son of God. And it's the easiest way to receive and flow in it. Amen. So we're going to pray. We're going to pray for several things today, this evening, but I really want to pray for emotional things. Tomorrow night, unless the Lord changes direction, which he has permission to do, amen. But unless he changes tomorrow evening, we're going to pray more for physical healing. If you can't be tomorrow and you need physical healing tonight, then get it, okay? But I mean, if you can come tomorrow, it's going to be more tailored to that. But we're going to pray for emotional healing and freedom from things that have been tormenting us spiritually and emotionally. And so one of the things we need to pray about is fear. Fear is the number one thing that wants to try to attack your heart and tell you you're not loved. Fear stands contrary to the voice of the Spirit of God. Fear says you're alone. Fear says bad things will happen. Fear says you're not accepted. Fear says all these things. And I've struggled with fear a lot. When I first went to India, I left this country when I was 23 years of old. I lived there alone in the mountainous region. And people thought, man, Robert is just fearless. And you know what's the number one thing I struggled with? Fear. Fear, doubt. I struggle with a whole bunch of things. If you have fear, which is fear, anxiety, you know, you know what stress is? Stress is just the modern day term for fear. But we don't like saying that, especially men. Men don't like to say, I'm fearful. They say, like, I'm stressed. You know, I'm just stressed at work today. So what are you fearful of? I'm not fearful of anything. No, just tell me. Okay, what are you stressed about? Well, I'm stressed that I would lose my job. Oh, so you're fearful that you will not perform properly and that you will lose favor and that you will lose your job. Stress is fear. Did you know that the number one cause of all diseases, majority of diseases, is stress, which is fear. God doesn't want you carrying fear. Fear is a thought. Fear is an emotion. Fear is a response. But guess what? Fear is also a demon. Oh, let's not go there. No, we need to go there. Let's not talk about this. Okay, I'm leaving now. No. Listen, it can be a emotion, but it also can be a spirit. Especially when you can't control it, it resists change, and you're on medication. Many people, do you know, like over 25% of the whole American population is on some kind of, you know, anxiety-related medicine? You know what? God can change that for you. I saw, this is the last vision I want to share. One time I was just struggling with my faith. I struggle with my faith at times. You know what? God's bigger than our struggle. And so, Pastor Randy, can you come up? I need to use you as an object. So you will be the father. So I saw myself in this vision very clearly. You know how they always have these action movies where there's some kind of action scene, there's a cliff, and someone's dangling, you know, off the cliff, or someone grabs someone right before they're gonna plunge their death, you know, and they're hanging by someone's hand. And so I saw myself, this Pastor Randy will be the father in heaven, okay? So I saw myself dangling from, you know, from this cliff, and I was fearful. I could feel in this vision, I could feel the fear, the anxiety. It was running through my mind. It's like, I could fall, I could die. Oh my goodness, what can I, you know, all those fearful, anxious thoughts. And I was focused on my grip. It was like this, the grip. And I was focusing. I was like, I need to grip harder. I need to grip harder so I won't slip and fall. And while I was focusing on that, and I hear all those thoughts, I heard the Father say, "Son, you have it all wrong." And then immediately my thoughts went off from my grip, and I could feel His grip on me. I could feel the strength. I could feel His tender commitment and His love. And all the fear just left, and I could feel this peace. And I knew if I even did this, woo, I wasn't going anywhere. No, you're messing up my preaching, Pastor Randy. Does that make sense? His grip was so strong and so tight. Thank you, Pastor Randy.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. And so many times in our life, we're struggling, we're fighting, we're trying to do the right thing, we're trying to believe right. And so many times we don't realize that the Father has a grip on us. And I remember I was going through this one time of my life. I've been through, you know, when you're living in a third world country, now India is the 10th most persecuted country in the world. It's beyond Syria and Iraq and the level of persecutions. We've had situations come up. It's been crazy. You know, I've been threatened in different ways. You know, I've been through fear. And you know what? In one of those times, the Father said this to me where I have it written. He says this, "In everything I have called you to, I have already committed myself to you." He has already committed Himself to you. It's just a matter of you perceiving it and trusting in it. And then He said this, "Be strong in my unfailing love." God wants to set you free from fear. Condemnation. You don't need to walk in that any longer. Jesus took all of your sins and all of the punishment of those sins to show you, to prove to you that you will never be punished again. You are free in His love. You have to look at Jesus as receiving everything that you were and will ever be guilty of. And He did that to convince you and me that you can be free from fear, free from the fear of punishment. And the last area I want to talk about, it involves trauma, hopelessness, and depression. I've been in all three of those. I've had trauma, I've had hopelessness, I have depression. But you know what? Many of those come and they can go. But you know what causes them to stick? Self-pity. And I know if you do not hear me properly, you can be very offended about what I'm going to say. And hopefully I will say it properly. I've been in the place of self-pity. When I was sick with incurable lung disease, right after I got to India, after a few months of serving there, I was really offended. I said, God, I left everything, country, land, to serve you, and look what is going on with me. And I would look at people who didn't even know God, who were worshiping idols and living sinful life, and they appeared happy and healthy. And I said, something is wrong here. And it was all accusation towards him as a self-pity towards myself. Let me say this. Self-pity is a super glue of hell that will bind you to your problems. Self-pity is the fuel that keeps hopelessness and depression burning. And you know what? I went through, I had several years, it's a demon. It controls the way you think and the way you perceive life, and it tries to convince you that, you know, this is it. And when I got free of that, shortly later, I got my healing. And you know what? God wants to heal you of trauma. He wants to heal you of hopelessness. He wants to heal you of depression. But if you have self-pity, I just want to tell you, I've been there. That is the battle, and we can break that off of you today. So we're going to transition to prayer now. Is that okay, Pastor Randy? So why don't we have the prayer team come up? Yes. Prayer team, please line up the front. Space yourselves out a little bit. Grab a mint if you're uncertain about your breath. And God wants to bring freedom to our lives. Maybe those don't describe you. Maybe you say, I just need an experience of God's love. I need that experience that you're talking about, because I want to be rooted in God's love. We can pray for that too. We can pray for anything. But I just want to say, I want to focus it. If this is your emotional need today, I want to believe God will give you freedom. There was one word the Lord gave very strongly to me this afternoon. I was just having fun with the Holy Spirit. That's what prayer is. It's just having fun with the Holy Spirit. And it was good. Oh my goodness, it was sweet. Mm. And he showed me that there is someone here who's had a long-term struggle with suicide and suicidal thoughts and desires. And they've come in seasons. And you've gone through a pretty good season for a while, and then you've hit a bad one. And it's like it's come back. And I really believe the Lord is wants to touch you and bring freedom to that area. So I'm not going to have you stand up, but I am going to strongly encourage you to come forward and not leave if that's you today. And so let's do that. If that's you or you need prayer for anything, we're here. So let me pray. And as soon as I start praying right now, come forward if that's you. And anything else? I think in 5 minutes you need to get your kid. And you can bring your kids back in here. You can stay here late because I'm not leaving soon. Yep. Okay. Sound good? Holy Spirit, we love you. You are here, and we thank you. And we intentionally invite your presence to touch people's hearts and lives. Holy Spirit, I pray for you to reveal strongly to the hearts of the people here that they are a son and they are a daughter. They are forever positioned as co-heirs with Christ. They are forever positioned in the place of loving affection and acceptance before the Father. I pray, Father, right now that the spirit of abandonment be broken off of these people in the name of Jesus. The spirit of rejection, feeling like you're alone. In the name of Jesus, I break that off of these people. In the name of Jesus, I bind depression, hopelessness and trauma, self-pity, fear and condemnation. And Father, we release your presence and we pray for the experience of faith to come upon people, Lord. Not only would they be rooted in their faith, but they'd be rooted in the experience of your love as well. Lord, you want your spirit to rest upon these people, because you want to use them powerfully for your glory. But that comes through sonship. And I pray for that reality to be stronger than anything around them circumstantially. in the name of Jesus. So if any of you need prayer, come forward right now. Just come on forward. Yep. Don't be shy. Yeah. Don't be afraid. Yes. Come forward if you need prayer. And remember, if you have kids, go ahead and get them in the next 3 minutes because it's almost time, okay? Yes. There's some people down here for prayer. There's some people. I can pray for people too. So, Grant, why don't you jump up here too? Yeah. Amen.